What a great reminder that God is still God no matter what's going on. So Pastor Zach forgot something very important. On Tuesday nights, the reason we walk and the reason we ride is not for 6 o'clock and exercise. It's for 7 o'clock and ice cream. So just so we got that settled, when I was riding up, we called this hill Hades Hill. Someone said, why do you call it Hades? I said, just wait till you're on it and you realize you don't want to be there. And I said, I'm just thinking about chocolate ice cream with hot fudge. And when I went up there, I mean, I rode 15 miles. I said, could I have hot fudge on the bottom of the cup and on the top of my ice cream? So it was so good. But it's a great time for us. And you are more than invited to that. And I'm excited about this Easter invite. I'm excited that I'm going to be able to invite my neighbors. I'm excited that we've added a lot more chairs in the church. We're still socially distanced, but it's just time again. Hey, you can invite people. You know what people are looking for right now? Hope. People are looking to find hope because life is hard. And someone asked me this morning, do you think it's ever going to get better? And I'm like, I don't even know what better is, but I know that we've got today. And I'm excited about being here. And I've been reading this week, and I've been just kind of contemplating the life of Mary, not the mother of Jesus, Lazarus' sister. And we read about Mary, and this is somewhat familiar in Luke chapter 10, where they go and hang out at the home of Mary and Martha. And if you've read the Bible much at all, you might remember that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and she was listening to what is being taught. And then Martha is trying to prepare like this awesome feast for Jesus. I mean, you know, when you have somebody important coming over, you want things to look good and all of that. And I mean, imagine, oh, who's coming around? Oh, the Son of God. Oh, okay, what are we going to serve him? I have no idea, but like things are amped up. And so Martha, she thinks, all right, well, if I just go tell Jesus to tell Mary to do what she needs to be doing, life will be good. So Martha goes and, you know, says, you know, Jesus, gosh, this is unfair. My sister just sits here while I do all the work. Tell her to come help me. And Jesus says, my dear Martha, so understand tone. He's not madder. He says, you are worried and upset about all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, this really isn't a passage that says people should be unconcerned about their household chores. This is a passage that says we need to have a proper attitude towards Christ no matter what's going on in life. And I thought about this last year, and it's been a year that's wanted to make me inwardly divided. I think about all of the stuff that went on with the election. I mean, it's like, okay, this is just so hard. And then, you know, I'm worried about, okay, am I gonna die today from COVID? You know, who do I not want to be around? And I remember when we first did it, and then I watched that movie Contagion or something, and it was like, oh no. So I was in, you know, neighborhood market. It's what I was feeling, Judah. But I think I told you that I'm neighborhood market, and I'm like looking at people going, oh, you, bye-bye, Judah, we love you. Mama, daddy's taking me. That will be a preacher, and that's a good thing. But, you know, so I'm in the neighborhood market thinking, I can just tell. And all of this stuff was kind of like a Martha in my world. Am I so concerned with staying alive that I forget about eternal life? Am I so concerned with who's going to be elected that I forget about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that can use anything, anywhere, anytime? And I don't know what that Martha thing is. Maybe have you had to struggle a little bit with keeping your focus on Jesus this year? It's an interesting time. And I look at this and I think, wow, I can be inwardly torn and have so much energy taken out of me for things that don't really matter that I forget to focus on what actually does matter. And Martha's mistake had to do just simply with letting too many things distract her from the Lord. And I've realized lately, there's only one thing that matters, and it's you and me being connected to Jesus. And life, I don't know, it maybe is going to get better and someone's going to, you know, spread out some fairy dust and everything's going to go away and we're all great. But I can't wait to live for that to happen. Because Jesus, if he really did raise from the dead, and that's what we're going to celebrate on Easter, then he really defied death. And if he really did die for you, and he died for me, for our sins, then we can actually be forgiven. And in the midst of what life brings, we can find hope when we're connected to him. And I hear over and over again this year about how much despair there is. I get it. But I also get it matters what we focus on, right? And so on this occasion, I think I would have rather been like Mary. You know, oh, nothing matters. Let me just connect with Jesus. But I find myself a little bit more like Martha, if I was going to be honest. What has kept me from pursuing the Lord? And Mary's obviously devoted, and she loves the Lord. But when we read about her in John chapter 11, things are a little different. In John chapter 11, we realize that Jesus waited to go and connect with Lazarus, and Lazarus died. And he'd been in the tomb for 4 days, and Bethany, from where they were in Jerusalem, was just like 2 miles. It wasn't hard for Jesus to get there. But Jesus said, I'm going to wait, and he's going to die, because you need to have a stronger faith. And then I'm going to show you the power of God. Well, the scripture goes on, and they talked about, you know, Jewish people. Many of them had come for Martha and Mary, and it's interesting that the Jewish people even were supporting Lazarus at that moment. And when it says many people come, normally when somebody died, you would hire 2 people, if you were poor, to come, and they would weep out loud for you. And it was part of their tradition, and they had many, many people come and weep for them, and they weren't poor people. But what we read here, it says, Mary and Martha, they had them to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. I mean, she was devoted to Jesus. But even devoted followers get discouraged. And it's a little bit of a conflict, because isn't life with Jesus always supposed to go well? Like, I'm a believer. I love the Lord, and life is always supposed to go well. Well, it didn't really go well. And Mary, who had tremendous faith and had her priorities in line and sat at the feet of Jesus, this rocked her boat. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she's like, I just got to go see him. And Mary said, not this time. Have you ever been there? It's not just that you're busy and you know your priorities got a little whacked because of the pressures in life. Have you ever been kicked in the gut so hard that you're just mad? You're mad at everything and everyone, and even Jesus himself is not off limits. Well, that's where Mary was. And it's like, wait a minute. Mary, how did you get there? Remember that quote from Mother Teresa? I know God won't give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Right? And it's hard, and the scripture picks up here, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And so Martha wants to make sure that Jesus knows he failed them. Right? Like, we sent a message to you, and you didn't have to stay there. You could have come, and you didn't. And if you'd have been here, he'd have stayed alive. And then she says, but I, you know, she probably felt bad. Wow, did I just say that? And so she kind of makes up for it and says, but I know that even God will give you whatever you ask. She just said that like sometimes we pray. God, I know this isn't going to work, but we throw a Hail Mary. Not literally Hail Mary, Hail Mary, but hey, Jesus, I'm going to just throw one out there. But if you can fix it, would you do it? And so Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And now you know she doesn't believe. Martha answered, yeah, I know he'll rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus is kind of like, no, you don't get it. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who has come to the world. And after she said this, she went and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. Have you ever just kind of put the car in park right there? Mary is so upset with Jesus. The one that she was on her knees and sitting and saying, this is way more important. And now she's like said, you know what? You only show up when it's convenient, I'm out. Have you ever put it in park right here? And do you think Jesus didn't know her heart and her feelings? And he said to Martha, hey, go get Mary. I don't hate when people doubt. I don't hate when people get mad at me. I really am the Lord, the one who can do anything. And I know life gets hard, and you're going to learn a lesson here about life getting hard. It's not about life getting hard. It's about where we focus. And Martha, you were kind of distracted, and Mary wasn't. But now, Mary, you have just said, you know what? I kind of put my money in the machine, and the pop didn't come out. Or, you know, have you ever done that? Like with a machine at the airport or something, you're so hungry, and you put your money in, and then it gets hung up. Oh, has that ever happened? I mean, like, you want to commit abuse on the machine, and you're just like, no, that was like 75 cents. No. And you know, and this is so much more than that. And Jesus cuts right through it and says, I care. Well, scripture goes on to say, when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb and mourn. And then she does the same thing that Martha did. I would say they probably had a conversation about this before. Did Jesus really care about our brother? Did he really care that I like sat at his feet and worshiped him? And Martha saying, did he even care that I was freaking out to give him the best meal he's ever had? And we notice here what Mary says when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Wow. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then this is what we always talk about, one of the shortest verses in the Bible. Jesus wept. In light of the whole scene, there's intense emotion. And Jesus was moved by what Mary said to him. You are a little bit the cause of this. Because if you would have showed up when we asked you to, this wouldn't be happening. And you know, Jesus loved them. He cared so much about them. And now, man, he's just getting it from them. And he's upset that, you know, the whole thing, I mean, you know, when you're around a funeral and people are weeping and that, it's not like, oh, this is great. And then there's also the doubt. You really don't know who I am, Jesus had to have been thinking. How many miracles have I performed? How many people have been touched? How many thousands have been fed? Have I not walked on water? And all of these things, these all weren't done in isolation. And isn't that a place where we can find ourselves at times? We're distracted and it affects our walk with God. And then we get punched in the gut. And then we're like, we're just mad at God. I had my life planned out. This is what I was thinking. This is where I was going. And hello. And then there comes a point in time where you have to decide. You have to decide, am I going to be devoted? Or am I going to be kind of displaced with doubt? You have to decide when life is hard and it's maybe not going to go the way you and I want it to. Am I still going to trust or am I just going to try to do it myself? So the next time Mary is mentioned in the scriptures, it's about 6 days before Jesus is actually going to be crucified. So that's the next time she's mentioned after that. And I think that this is really where she was, and it never became who she was. You see, that's the problem when we get distracted. We get distracted, and we used to have a strong faith, and we talked about our faith, and we believed in our faith, and our faith was real, and then just life happens. And now we're not as close to God at all as we want to be, because we forgot to get at his feet. And now our faith is more of something we used to know, or our faith is something that's not quite as important because we prayed that God would help us and that he would provide us finances and that God would help our world, and all of a sudden we got finances, but then we bought this thing that keeps us out of church and keeps us out, and then we're busy. We got all these things to do because we got to pay for all these things, and we can get distracted. And instead of it being kind of what happened, it's now who we are. How many people have I met over the years being a pastor who've been kicked in the gut and have never gotten over it? Jesus was super honest and said, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, it's going to be like super hard because you're not meant to be forever here. You're not meant to be forever here. I have prepared a place for you. All eternity. And we get kicked in the gut, and then we get mad at God. Well, so Mary had to decide. And she had to decide, am I going to doubt or am I going to do something about this and get my life back with God? And the best way that that happens is to start to have a thankful heart. Start to show gratitude. And this is exactly what happens the next time that we see Mary in the scriptures. In John chapter 12, here's what it says. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance. You know, normally when this would happen, this would be like an ounce. And so Mary doesn't take an ounce. She takes like a big bottle. This is totally extravagant. It was about a year's wage. And there was also something else going on, that when you have a single rabbi and you have a woman who uncovers her veil and she begins to wipe his feet in that with her hair, this is not something that you would normally do. This was a bold move, and not everybody liked what was going on, and we see that in the next scripture. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wage. It should have been sold, and the money was given to the poor. Not that he cared about the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this in preparation of my burial. And he says, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. All right, so Mary was so upset with Jesus because her brother died. And then, miraculously, Jesus does what Jesus can do, raised her brother. And there's a point in life where we have to decide if it's going our way or if it's not going our way, is Jesus still our Lord? And if he really is, the way to get back on track is to do something. She didn't want to stay where she was. Her heart hurt, but she had to get over her hurt and back into being devoted. The poor will be present for believers to help, but the privilege of Jesus ministering to his needs was not going to be there very long. And so Jesus makes a significant statement here. Opportunities come and go. And once they're gone, they're gone. Mary loved Jesus and did something about it. Judas, right after this, goes and sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I looked at this and I'd say there's three types of situations. You're devoted to the Lord and things are just working out well. We all need that, right? Just that sense of His presence. Oh, man, this is good. May it never stop. And then we open our eyes and we leave church, right? And then there's that point where you can just be distracted. And you're really not as close as you were, but you're, you know, in your mind, close enough. And then there's that next level of life is absolutely derailed right now. And I don't know what we're going to do. And I don't even think God can fix it, but I'll throw up a prayer just because I know it's probably the right thing to do. And then there's Mary, who's felt all of this and actually decides to act. Her time, talent, treasure devoted back to the Lord. She said, this is not where I want to be. I know how it worked. It was spending time listening and connecting to Him. I also know that life is not always fair. But I'm going to do what I can do to make sure I'm close to Jesus. And then something to her amazement was when she did that, He actually defended her again. He actually stood up and said, this isn't the first time I've had to say, hey, Martha, chill, because she's being devoted. I mean, she has all of these men. This is terrible. You're a rotten person. You shouldn't have done that. And Jesus says, whoa, time out. She has devoted herself to me. And that is most important. And they didn't know that He was going to be crucified a week later. But because she was listening to the voice of God, she actually was part of His preparation in that. I don't know where you are today, but I know where I want to be. I don't want to be so distracted by just the stuff in this world that I'm giving up on church and giving up on the Lord. I know that in my life I've been kicked in the gut hard enough that I was so angry. I hated everything and everyone, and God was part of that. And then I had to decide, is this really how I want to live my life? And then I've worked hard at coming back to the point, what really matters in life? It's a connection to Jesus Christ and then letting Him defend us. It's a connection to Him even when life is hard. That it was hard for Him too. And He actually died first that I might find hope and help when life is difficult. And friends, this is why we're going to celebrate Easter in 2 weeks. This is why you need to give that little card to somebody after you've prayed for that somebody to come into your life. I mean, it can happen. A week ago, I was at Academy Sports and the cashier was just talking about how life was unfair to her. And I pulled out my wallet, and I didn't have this, but I pulled out the little You're Invited card, and I said, you want to try Hope Church? They actually care about people, and I think you'll find some people there who really do care. People are needing hope, and guess what? You're the hope givers. You can invite people to hope that they can find hope. And what is our hope? Is it the building? Of course it's not. Our hope is in the Lord. And I'd say He's probably still calling somebody's name, and you're the one who's supposed to tell them and invite them. Let's pray together, and we'll have the people who've been leading us in great worship today. Thank you for preparing so hard. It sounded so good. Father, I pray a real sincere prayer right now that you would remind the one who's doubting and angry and life hasn't gone well. You will remind them, just like Martha reminded Mary, Jesus is calling you. You will remind them that you're on their side and you care, and yes, this world is hard. And God, I pray for the times when we're so distracted, and right now it's easy to be distracted, that we will realize you matter. God, that you matter, and that you don't want us to be so distracted that we forget. God, I pray for everyone today, hope at home, hope right here in the building, that we would get enough of you in us that we would be able to give hope to somebody else who's discouraged. God, even if it's been a while, let this not be who we are, let it be where we are, and then let us do something about it. God, I'm so thankful to be here today with these friends. From the bottom of my heart, I pray that you would bless them. From the bottom of my heart, I pray that they would sense there's a God who cares and a God who can make a difference in their life in spite of what we're going through. Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. Make your face radiate about them, Lord. May we live in your peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together.